Good morning, everyone. My name is Richard Pratt. I'm not the normal preacher in this church, but I'm glad to be with you this morning on the first Sunday of Advent. That's what this is, as we prepare ourselves for the celebration of Christmas in just a few weeks. We're going to read from Luke chapter 2, and if you want to turn there, in your Bibles in front of you, it's on page 857, Luke chapter 2 is a well-known portion of the scriptures. If you've been around Christianity at all, then you have heard this story before. It's about the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, hear now the word of God. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we have just read this story about your birth. Many of us grew up with this story. We know it. Some of us can even recite it. We bless you for coming to be with us. But now we turn to you because these familiar words are often overlooked. Their importance is often neglected. And we come to you because we call you our teacher. We come to you because we hope in you. We come to you because we love you. So please send now Holy Spirit to us. May he open every eye in this room to see the truth that you would have us see, to hear you speak, and to love you more dearly because of this, your holy word, and we'll honor you for it. Amen. This is the Christmas season, and if you're like most people, you'll have some children around you, maybe your own children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, whoever they may be, but you also know they get in your hair, because you've got busy things to do, you've got things to prepare, things to get ready, and often what happens during the Christmas season is we'll get rid of the kids by sitting them in front of the TV so they can watch Christmas cartoons. We all know the Christmas cartoons that are out there, and they're wonderful in many respects, but we also know what the message of these Christian cartoons is. Christmas is a happy time. Christmas is a time to be generous. Christmas is a time of peace. Christmas is a time to get along and have just a moment of joy. And that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? But it's no wonder that adults ignore these cartoons, because we know better. And often what we end up doing is reducing the story of Christmas down to a cartoon version of peace and joy and happiness, and can't we all just get along? To the point that we lose interest in what Christian is actually about. And this is especially true for the men in the room today. Because all you're thinking about is, how much money is this celebration going to cost me? And when can I finally get back to work and make enough money to pay those bills? I mean, that's the kind of thing that happens to us because we live often with a cartoon version of what Christianity is about. Well, rather than doing that this morning, what we're going to do is to look at the true story of Christmas, which is no cartoon. It's a very adult story. And perhaps if you can hear what the Bible says about this adult story of Christmas, perhaps it can actually mean something to you as an adult this season. And perhaps rather than working your way all the way up to that day, having 5 minutes with the children to hand out the presents, then getting back in your mind to other things, you can actually, as an adult, begin to celebrate what this Christmas message is. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be different? This story begins in a very adult way by first telling us the circumstances under which Jesus was born. Listen again to verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Well, if you're familiar with the story of Christmas, you know that's how it begins. Caesar in Rome calls for everyone to be registered. But in the days of the Bible, this was a very poignant statement because it said something. Here are the people of God living in Palestine. Here are the people of Israel, the ones chosen by God. And yet some other nation rules over them. Rome. In fact, Rome is just the last of a number of empires that had ruled over the people of God for over 500 years, tyrannizing them decade after decade, century after century. This is just the end of a very long road of trouble and trial. And often in our minds, when we watch the movies about the Roman Empire, we have the impression that it was a time of what we often call Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. And there were areas in the Roman Empire where there was peace, especially in the Mediterranean Ocean as the Romans took care of the pirates in that sea. That was a good thing. But not in Palestine. Not in the land that Joseph and Mary lived in. Not in the land where Jesus was born. It was a day of trouble for them. Under the rule of Rome. It was a day when there were international forces pressing in on them. It was a day when the great powers of the world had actually turned against them. It was a day when, even within Israel, there were secularizing forces that had turned Israelite against Israelite so that no one was safe, no one was at peace, everyone had trouble, and to top it all off, Caesar Augustus says, I want everyone registered because I want to make sure everyone is paying their taxes. Taxes. We know what trouble that is. I mean, put yourself in the shoes of these people at the beginning of this story. Imagine a world where there is international conflict that threatens you, your homeland, your people, your loved ones, your family. Imagine a world where even within your own culture, there are oppositions. Those that fight against the things that you held to be true, the things that you believed to be true, and were coming after you with every means possible. Imagine a world like that, and you'll understand the kind of world that Joseph and Mary were experiencing at this time. And it's not difficult to imagine because that's the world in which you live today. Have you noticed it? This is no cartoon, by the way. This is the reality. We live in a world today where international conflict threatens our very existence. We live in a world today where turmoil, even within our own society, by secularizing forces, threatens all the things that you and I have held dear, to the point that we wonder if indeed it is even possible for things to ever be turned around. These are dark days for those who follow Jesus in this world. In fact, I don't know what it's like in your home, but we're newsaholics in my home, and we often have different reactions as we watch the news, but I can just sort of tell you how it goes. My wife becomes angry. When she watches the news, she gets angry. I don't know if you know Gina or not, but she's very mild spoken, unless there's a television in the room. And she starts yelling at the TV. And I say, Gina, they can't hear you. They can't hear you. But it's okay with me for her to yell at it, so long as she doesn't throw anything at it. Then we have to replace it. We become angry sometimes when we think about the things that are going on around us, don't we? Now, I don't tend to get angry. I tend to get depressed and say it's hopeless. Others of us wrestle with those two feelings, and so the only way we know how to survive is just to turn the TV off and be ignorant of what's going on around us. But the fact is, these things are so pressing in on us today, as they were in the days of Joseph and Mary, that you cannot ignore these realities in life anymore. These are troubling times. And it's in that kind of world that Jesus was born. It's in that kind of world that the child was given. And so for you and me to understand what happens in this portion of the Bible and to understand how it works for us today, we have to come to grips with the fact that we are in those kinds of troubling times again, where evil has raised its head up in ways that we cannot ignore anymore. And maybe you become angry, maybe you become depressed, maybe you try to turn it off, but the reality is still there. And we have to face it as we are going into the Advent season. Otherwise, this just becomes a children's fairy tale for you too. And who needs another one of those? Now maybe you're here today and you wonder, yeah, the world is in trouble and things are falling apart all around me. And I can even see that in my personal life as well as my family, as well as my community at large and even around the world internationally. I can see all that. Is there any hope in a world that's like that? Is there any way to deal with it? Is there any way for me to have a vision that's more positive, that's more hopeful? And the answer is yes, there is. It's what Christmas is about, this birth of this child whose name was Jesus. There is a way, even in our day, to deal with the darkness of the world around us. Now, you know, as the story proceeds, Mary has her baby and puts him in a manger, and things are okay, but something happens out in the countryside where the shepherds are. They're out there tending their sheep, and suddenly they have this grand experience. Do you remember what it says in verse 10? And the angel said to them, the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, when you and I hear that, we have images that come into our heads. Most of them come from little Christmas dramas that we've seen at one time or another when the children act out the Christmas story. And so we act like we're in the land of Lilliput, and we just think about these little beings up here that are running around doing their thing, and isn't that sweet and isn't that nice? But that's the cartoon version, not the reality of what's happening here. When this angel appeared, the shepherds were frightened. They were terrified at what they saw, and if you saw an angel, you'd be terrified too. But the words that the angel said to the shepherd were not terrifying at all. He said, "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I have good news. There's someone who's being born, and his name is the Christ. He is the Savior, and this is a good thing for people to know." But often we don't get the impact of these words because we don't understand how filled with meaning words like good news are. When you look at the Bible, the expression good news, or as we often say it in Christian circles, the gospel, is actually an announcement, not an announcement that, well, good things are coming, isn't that wonderful? No, it's an announcement that God has had victory over evil, and that those who are in his favor will receive the blessings of God. That's what the good news all through the Bible, from cover to cover, is. That's what the gospel is. It's a good news, an announcement of victory in warfare. And more than that, when the angel says that this child is the Savior, this refers to his name, Jesus. And if you didn't know this, the name Jesus in Hebrew is the name Joshua, which means that God delivers. And it too is a term of warfare that's used in the Bible, that God delivers his people from their enemies and gives them victory. That's what the name Jesus actually means. And when it says that this child is the Christ, in the days of the Bible, this meant that he was the king, that he is the one who rules, the warrior king who rules. All through the Christmas story, we find the lacing of these themes of warfare and victory, warfare and victory, warfare and victory. In fact, they're even in the song from Handel's Messiah that the choir sang this morning. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And what shall his name be called? Wonderful Counselor, which means a wonderful military strategist. Mighty God, which means he fights with the power of God. Eternal Father, which means that he is the unending ruler over all things. And Prince of Peace, which means that he, after war, establishes peace forever in the world. From beginning to end, the Christmas story is a story about victory over evil in this world. No wonder it's called the Good News. But as you know, it's not just one angel who speaks to the shepherds. As we read in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, did you notice what it says here? It says here that there is a multitude of the heavenly host. Now, that word host is not the way we use the word host today in English, which means somebody that welcomes you into their house and serves you tea. No, that's not what it means by a host. In the Bible, the expression host actually means this, army. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army. He is surrounded now, not by little cherubs, but by warrior angels. This is so different from what we normally think. Think again about the children's drama at Christmas. And what happens at this point? You know how it is. Mary and Joseph are in front at the little nativity, and they're sitting there, and they're solid. They're not going to move. They're staring at the floor to keep from looking up at their parents out there. And then when it says, and suddenly there was with the angel, up pops a little girl from behind the background of the stage, and she holds her hands out like this. And the narrator reads, fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. Great. Little five-year-old doing this. And then when the narrator says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, the whole children's choir stands up back there on their little white outfits with their wings and with their little halos, right? And they start singing, Gloria in excelsis Deo, right? And we all smile. We say, isn't that cute? That's my grandbaby up there. And it is wonderful, and it is cute, but it is not what happens in this part of the Bible. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army, praising God and singing a song. Listen to the song they sang. Glory to God in the highest in heaven, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Did you notice here that this does not read like the old King James Bible did, that says peace on earth, goodwill to men? The modern translations are right. It doesn't say glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward people. What it says is, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This is not some children's choir singing a tiny little song that makes us smile. This is an army singing a song of war as they're about to enter into battle. You may not know this, but in the ancient world, until modern warfare, it was quite common for armies to sing songs as they marched into battle. And that's what this is. They're singing their war song. And they have their armor on, these angels do, their spears and their swords, and they're banging their shields like this, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those with whom he is pleased. that raises a very important question, doesn't it? With whom is God pleased? Because if he is not pleased with you, the army of heaven is not coming to bring you peace, but to bring you defeat. So with whom is God pleased? It's the most important question we can ask as we consider this part of Scripture. And the answer is not difficult. God is pleased with all who have come to Jesus. So if you are one today who's not sure about where he or she stands with Jesus, if you're not one who has given up the things of this world and repented and come to Jesus, then you are not one with whom God is pleased. But you can come into the favor of God right this very minute by simply calling out to Jesus and asking him to save you. And when he does, then the peace that's promised by this angelic army will be yours. But for those of you who have been in Christ for many years, the cartoon version of Christmas often causes us to reduce to a very manageable and small size what it means to say that Jesus is our Savior, that Jesus is our Deliverer, that Jesus is the Christ. And we reduce it down to something like this. Well, Jesus forgives me of my personal sins, which he does. And Jesus helps me in my personal life, which he does. But that's far too small compared to what the angels were announcing. What the angels were announcing is that Jesus has come to war, and Jesus has come to make war to win the entire creation. So it's time for you and me during this Christmas season to begin to expand what it means to believe in Jesus. Yes, you may believe that Jesus has saved you personally from your sins, but now it's time to believe that Jesus will save the world, that Jesus will deliver the world, that Jesus will defeat evil and remove those who follow the ways of evil from the face of the earth, that he will make all things new, and that he will give to his people peace forever in the new heavens and the new earth. That is why Jesus came. That is why the angels sang. And that is why we celebrate Christmas. Nothing short of that is worthy of this child who was born, the great warrior who will defeat the enemies of God. And how does he do this? When he came to this earth and he ministered on this earth, he went after the demons and the evil spirits that tyrannized the people of God. He died on a cross and robbed Satan of his greatest power over human beings, the fear of death. He robbed them of that great fear that is inside of so many of us. And when he rose from the dead, he demonstrated that he is the Son of God and that he was given authority over all things, so that now Jesus rules in heaven until all of his enemies are put under his feet, the Bible tells us. And how does he do that? By the spreading of his gospel from one end of the earth to the other, from one people to another, from one nation to another, as the good news about this Christ child, the warrior child, is proclaimed in the world, Jesus has victory over evil day after day after day. I know that in our country, it doesn't look like that's the case, because Christianity is not doing very well in our country. But in other parts of the world, people are coming to Jesus in numbers that we cannot even count. Jesus, even today, as he is reigning in heaven, is ruling until all of his enemies are put under his feet by the sword of the Spirit, the gospel of Jesus. And then Jesus will one day return and make all things new. And in that day, there will be no more evil. There will be no more international threats. There will be no more domestic threats to the things that you believe. There will be no more trouble in your life, because all things will be made new and they will be yours. So where do you put your hope? Are you going to hope in politicians to fix the mess we're in? Are you going to hope in human scheming to figure out how we're going to set the world aright again? Now that Pax or Peace America has disappeared from the face of the earth, and while we are even now in our own culture rotting from within, shall we put our hopes in people, or shall we put our hopes in the Christ child who was born as the warrior who will conquer all evil and bring the new world? I think you know the option. It's to join with the angels and announce that there will be peace for those with whom God is pleased. And how did the shepherds respond to all of this? It's interesting, isn't it? How did they go about responding to this great news that they heard, that yes, the hand of Rome will one day be lifted off of them, the evil will be destroyed, that the world will be made aright again? How did they respond? We'll take a look at verse 17. And when they saw it, the baby, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. In verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is what they did. Rather than remaining quiet, rather than remaining personal and private with their faith in Jesus, they began to tell other people. You see, they understood that if you believe in the good news that the warrior child has been born and that he is the king who will have victory over every evil force in this world, this is not something you can be quiet about. This is something you have to tell others about. And you know how it is today. As we live right here in Memphis, Tennessee, where it's forbidden to say Merry Christmas any longer. We have to say Happy Holidays now. Where you're afraid that if you wear some ornament or something that says that you're a Christian, that you're celebrating this season, that someone's going to be offended at you. That you're afraid of rejection, so much so that you just keep it all private, you keep it all quiet. But you see, the shepherds understood that even though the darkness was still around them, even though they had to wait for this Jesus to complete his mission of victory over evil, they understood that what you do in the meanwhile is you tell people about him. So the next time you're sitting with someone and they're shaking their head like this and saying, what are we going to do about this world? How can things be so bad? How's it ever going to change? The answer from the heart of the believer is, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know the one who is going to make all things new. And the people in that day marveled at what the shepherd said. And there will be many around you today who will marvel at the thought that Jesus of Nazareth is the one who will set all things right, will bring peace to the world as it has never seen before. You and I must take those little Christmas cards that say, peace on earth, goodwill to men, and throw them away. You and I must discount the cartoon version of the Christmas story and begin to realize that it is the most adult story you could possibly imagine, one of deep trouble, one of magnificent announcement, and one of a response telling others about this Jesus. You and I must begin to sing with those angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those with whom God is pleased. If you'll do that, this will not be an ordinary Christmas for you. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we delight in you. Thank you for coming into this world full of darkness, sin, and death. Thank you for sending the angels who announced your birth with great confidence and joy. Thank you for inspiring the shepherds to tell others about you. And now we pray that Holy Spirit will come upon us and that he will enable us by the power that raised you from the dead, that he'll enable us to walk in newness of life. Not to live with the cartoon of Christmas, but with the reality of the troubles, with the reality of this grand announcement of hope and vision for the future. So much so that we have the courage and the strength and the joy of sharing this good news with the world around us. And as you do that, we will praise you and we will honor you for it. Amen.